My favourite Christmas tradition has got to be from when I was young, my mum went to America and she found an advent box. Now, this was before all the big marketing companies were doing this idea. And it was an advent Christmas box. So she brought it home and every year she would put things like a boiled sweet in, or a 50 pence piece, or a lip balm in each individual box for me to open every single day of December. This has continued, now I'm 36, and she still keeps doing it for me, so that's probably my favourite Christmas tradition.
We did hang our stocking up the night before, and we did shout up in the chimney in those days to Father Christmas, and if you didn't do that, you're frightened, well, you wouldn't get what you wanted. We always had to go to church first of all, always. We did see what we had got off Father Christmas in those days, and but then we had to go to church on the morning. But we're all sat down there, 10. We'd get a trestle, we borrowed a trestle from the church each Christmas so that we could all get around, you see, seated all around there. They always insisted we were all together on the table. I didn't like the parsnip and I didn't like sprouts then, but I love them now. Yeah, and I love lots of them now, and we wouldn't have. But we would say, and the next one would say, hey, you have mine, Joyce, and you can have my bit of chicken, and I'll give you a bit of chicken of mine, extra chicken. So everybody like chicken, well, will you take mine? Well, everybody, we used to swap, unknown to them, but, you know, put them on round the thing. Oh yeah, we used to have fun round the table, waiting for our lunch.
In our house, at Christmas time, Magic Rabbit appears. So he comes when the Christmas tree arrives, and every night, by magic, he goes into another room, and he goes up quite high so he can see what's going on. And then every day he goes into a different room until Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, he goes onto the
Christmas tree.
Yeah.
My Christmas tradition was paid to by a penny. I grew up where we would, on the morning, Christmas morning, get up, each individually open a present, take turns, be patient, all good lessons. And Penny is more, has persuaded me reluctantly to the kids just get a pile of presents, open them all in one go. So as a compromise, I like at least one present each under the tree that we have to find and open separately, as opposed to just a mad scramble and then it's over in half an hour and it's just not how I would do things, but you have to compromise in marriage. I've learned that.
But you do get a cup of tea while they're in the scramble for half an hour and
just sit and relax. It's over too quickly and you don't get to appreciate other people's presence. I'll never win this argument, so yes.
So when we go to get our Christmas tree, we all get to pick a new bauble So me, Chelsea and Cleo can have baubles for when we grow up for our own trees. Yeah. So this year me and Chelsea picked matching ones with fairies on, which are somewhere on the tree. So every year in December we have one night where we eat Christmas chilli, which is just chilli and nachos and cheese and stuff, and then we watch about 2 Christmas films, and then we sleep under the tree, but we just sleep in the same room as the tree. But it's very exciting until you wake up with pine needles on your face. So
and
that's
very spiky.
The Christmas chili tradition.
And the tradition we will demonstrate is making the family Christmas pudding.
We use the recipe from my mum's old cookbook. I remember making this recipe with my mum in our kitchen when I was just a little girl, and we've used it ever since. And once all the ingredients have been mixed together, very important this, everyone in the house must give the cake, give the pudding a stir.
Wish you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
My favourite character from the Christmas story is and always has been the angel Gabriel. I always felt that as much as the big important characters like Mary and Joseph were fantastic, I always feel the smaller characters sometimes get forgotten. And I feel like he had such an important message to deliver that he has always been my favourite character in the Christmas story.
Baby Jesus is my favourite because he's a baby and they're cute.
Angel Gabriel.
Well, I've liked, you know, Mary and Joseph. Oh yeah, Jesus.
All of them.
Well, naturally, with me, as it would be today, it would be Jesus. It would be the baby. Because if we were going to see somebody who'd had a baby, it was that baby that you would dwell on. You wanted to see what they looked like and, you know, how they were. And I would say the baby. It'd be nice to see all the other people there as well. When you think he was the saviour of the world, and to know that you'd seen the saviour of the world, you'd like to tell everybody as well that you had. Think, well, has that happened in our day?
My favourite is the three wise men, because they're very, like, they go all this way to see baby Jesus, but then they actually turn up at the wrong place and go and see Herod, which is quite funny, and because they're, like, really clever, apparently. And then, so yeah, that's good. I like the shepherds as well. I like all of it, really.
And Mary. Wait, is
Mary the innkeepers? They're a bit cheery.
So my favourite part of the Christmas story and my favourite character is Mary, and it's where she's just completely obedient and trusting and believes what she's being told and not thinking herself or doubting herself that she's seeing things or creating her own imagination of some storyline that's going on. And just her faithfulness really throughout it all. Trusting that she won't be abandoned by her family and her partner and bringing this child up as her own. She just went through an awful lot as a young girl. It's quite humbling. So she's my favourite. She's good. Do you like Theo? The sheep.
Mummy was named the story.
Sheep.
Oh, that's the angel. Oh,
that's angel. Yeah. And that's the sign, Makaton for angel.
Yeah. Your favourite?
Yeah.
Angel. And the ring.
Rudolph.
And
Rudolph.
Favourite Christmas tradition has got to be from when I was young, my mum went to America and she found an advent box. Now, this was before all the big marketing companies were doing this idea, and it was an advent Christmas box. So she brought it home, and every year she would put things like a boiled sweet in, or a 50 pence piece, or a lip balm in each individual box for me to open every single day of December. This has continued, now I'm 36, and she still keeps doing it for me. So that's probably my favourite Christmas tradition.
We did hang our stocking up the night before, and we did shout up in the chimney in those days to Father Christmas. And if you didn't do that, you were frightened, well, you wouldn't get what you wanted. We always had to go to church, first of all, always. We did see what we had got off Father Christmas in those days. And but then we had to go to church on the morning. But we're all sat down there, 10. We'd get a trestle, we borrowed a trestle from the church each Christmas so that we could all get around, you see, along, seated all around there. They always insisted we were all together on the table. I didn't like the parsnip, and I didn't like sprouts then, but I love them now. Yeah, and I love lots of them now, and we wouldn't have. But we would say, and the next one would say, hey, you have mine, Joyce, and you can have my bit of chicken. And I'll give you a bit of chicken of mine, extra chickens, and everybody like chicken. Well, will you take mine? Well, everybody, we used to swap, unknown to them, but, you know, put them on round the thing. Oh yeah, we used to have fun round the table, waiting for our lunch.
In our house, at Christmas time, Magic Rabbit appears. So he comes when the Christmas tree arrives, and every night, by magic, he goes into another room, and he goes up quite high so he can see what's going on. And then every day he goes into a different room until Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve he goes onto the
Christmas tree.
Yeah.
My Christmas tradition was put paid to by Penny. I grew up where we would, on the morning, Christmas morning, get up, each individually open a present, take turns, be patient, all good lessons. And Penny is more, has persuaded me reluctantly to the kids just get a pile of presents, open them all in one go. So as a compromise, I like at least one present each under the tree that we have to find and open separately, as opposed to just a mad scramble and then it's over in half an hour and it's just not how I would do things, but you have to compromise in marriage. I've learned that.
But you do get a cup of tea while they're in the scramble for half an hour.
It's over too quickly, and you don't get to appreciate other people's presence. I'll never win this argument, so yes.
So when we go to get our Christmas tree, we all get to pick a new bauble for, and so me, Chelsea and Cleo can have baubles for when we grow up for our own trees. Yeah. So this year me and Chelsea picked matching ones with fairies on, which are somewhere on the tree. So every year in December we have one night where we eat Christmas chilli, which is just chilli and nachos and cheese and stuff. And then we watch about 2 Christmas films, and then we sleep in the living room. We sleep under the tree, but we just sleep in the same room as the tree. But it's very exciting until you wake up with pine needles on your face. So
and
that's
very spiky.
The Christmas chili tradition.
And the tradition we will demonstrate is making the family Christmas pudding.
We use the recipe from my mum's old cookbook. I remember making this recipe with my mum in our kitchen when I was just a little girl, and we've used it ever since. And once all the ingredients have been mixed together, very important this, everyone in the house must give the give the pudding a stir.
We're so all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for everyone to be willing to kind of let us in on all your Christmas traditions, and I hope you enjoyed hearing some of that. We're an eclectic bunch, aren't we? Christmas chili, magic rabbits, we've got it all in St Barnabas. And I'm really looking forward to, hopefully, people over the next few days coming up to me and telling me your weird Christmas traditions as well. Maybe we'll have so many, we'll have a video ready for next year. I guess it sounds like a cheap link, but I think the Christmas story can be like our traditions, because it's easy to take for granted something that has always been there. And yet, if any part of it were missing, we'd feel it so deeply. You know, is there a bit of Christmas dinner that if you didn't have that, it just wouldn't be Christmas dinner? For Sam, it's pigs and blankets. If we did not have pigs and blankets on the 25th, I don't know what would happen. It would be an ugly sight. And think of where we'd be if any part of the Christmas story were missing, what we'd lose. Because actually, what we have isn't just a vague message about having Christmas spirit and being nice once a year. Actually, we have a very particular story, and it's got very particular characters in it. What would we lose without the mystery and the fear of angelic messengers who seem to know that all of human history is about to change, and they're so keen that the human people they're telling this message to don't get distracted by the terror and the wonder of them, because there's something so important about to happen? What would we lose without the wise men? Those people who bring the wisdom of their own tradition so far from the Jewish faith, and they follow that right into the middle of this climactic moment of a whole different faith. What would we lose without Mary? You know, she faces the terror of a teenage pregnancy, which could have meant stoning. And she faces that with joy and bravery, which I guess can only come from someone who is genuinely experiencing God at that moment, lifting up the lowly. Now, I imagine that you've got your favourite bit, but whether it's the mud and the grit and the materiality of it, or whether it's the more mystical, wondrous side, we have to acknowledge there's just so much in this story. And we're shaped by the stories that we tell. These stories that we have in Scripture are there to form us as Christians. They make us who we are. That feels true with my family traditions. They shape us year after year. We're the people who come together and do this. We are the people who come together and remember this. Those things give us our identity. And the Christmas story is our story in that way, because we're called to be people of memory, to remember this story every year, to rehearse it, and then to let it shape us. But also, the Christmas story is not our story, because it doesn't belong to us. That's something important to make the distinction between our family traditions and this story. This story will never belong to us. Really, I guess we belong to the story. It's the other way round. Because if you were to really read the Christmas story, I think it's impossible to miss that sense of breaking boundaries and drawing those from the outside in. You know, loads of times, nothing happens in the way that we would have expected. Nothing's where it should be. Nobody's the right kind of person. And yet it's all exactly in the right place. The shepherds, who are outside the comfort of town, they're startled in the middle of the night shift. The wise men, as I've already said, they're drawn from what may as well have been another world. And Mary and Joseph, dragged from some backwater town on a census whose only point is just to basically take more money from an oppressed, occupied people. And that baby king, He's far away from the palaces and the comforts of the empire. He's without a bed, but he also ends up without a safe home to go back to. He's our refugee king. So this is a story that refuses to be made sentimental. You know, it refuses to have twinkly Christmas lights put over all the awkward bits. And this story refuses to be owned by us. Now, this can be our story if we make it ours by letting it shape us, by rehearsing it and remembering it as we do. But it's never going to belong to us. It's a story to be shared. But we all know how difficult it can be to share our traditions. Do you know, Penny and David, the reason we included that bit is because that's every Christmas in our household. You know, they're not the only couple who has not worked out when in the day the Christmas present should be opened or what vegetable sides you should have or whatever it is. Do you know, sharing traditions can be tricky. Sharing something that is precious to us, but it can be brilliant. Like I said, that's what we loved about making this video, is that we got to see the nativity story from so many different angles. And that would be what we missed out on if we held this story tightly to ourselves, if we were sure we knew already exactly what it meant. And if we keep it to ourselves within the walls of the church, do you know, if you come into a church at Christmas, this story is as much yours as anyone else's. Nobody gets to say it belongs to them. You know, as Joyce says, this is news you'd want to tell, and it's news we want to share. And year after year, I find that the Christmas story does that to me. However familiar it is, however many memories I have of hearing it, it draws me beyond myself. How could it not? It has so much in it to comfort and to challenge. God with us, those beautiful words that we say every year, on earth peace to those of us on whom his favour rests. And yet when God comes to be with us, who is he chosen to be with? And how is he with us? He's with us in a very vulnerable way, and he's with those right at the bottom of the pile. It's a truly beautiful story, which I hope I'll keep remembering, telling and hearing my whole life. And as it shapes us all, as these stories do, then we'll see more of God in the story. And I hope that we'll then see more of this particular God in our lives. Thank you.